Tuesday's the most productive day of the week, gentlemen, although you never know it based on the Doug and Wolf show so far.
Why do you say that, Polly?
Just an observation.
You don't think I'm being productive? Is that what you're saying right now?
Just an observation.
I can tell you, I still feel, oh my goodness, I still feel Baltimore.
Yeah, well, it shows.
I feel the malaise.
Doug's been carrying the show so far.
Yeah,
I hate to inform you, Wolf. You need to pick it up.
That's great right there. Shave your hair, Paul.
Just flash the two for the second quarter. It's a 7 a.m. hour because we know you love to do that.
Broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, high atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios. We say good morning to you.
Were you requesting cowbell or something there, Paul? Do you want Loverboy already on a Tuesday?
No, absolutely not.
I see.
No.
I don't think this is something that can be played enough when a Hall of Fame quarterback looks at your first two games and says...
The reason that they are having success on offense is because of that young man.
Okay, good morning.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
That'll work.
I loved it. I had all these reasons why I was so impressed with Kyler Murray. Can't even believe it. And then all of a sudden, Kurt Graybeard came on the air and said that.
What's really scary is whenever Kurt
Take
Warner...
Take your analysis, Wolf, and just get out of
that's
here.
That's right, Paul.
Whenever Kurt Warner becomes the master of succinctness for you to learn from,
right.
that means you've been struggling.
That's
Kurt,
right.
You know what? You might want to follow your own example. How's that
really,
taste, Graybeard?
Really? You telling Kurt to run the no-huddle on air? Is that what you're saying?
How's that taste?
Really?
Kurt, just so you know, whenever you want the Warner and Doug show, it's the Dobbs open. Okay,
heartbeat. I don't think you've talked now.
In a heartbeat. That's fine. That's fine. I'll sit and listen to Kurt. That'll be enjoyable.
The reason that they are having success on offense is because of that young man. He is making some throws and some plays that aren't really there in a lot of situations. That's really keeping this offense afloat. Been a lot of struggles. I think they're trying to find their way, trying to create some things that haven't been open oftentimes. Obviously the struggles in the red zone, I think, is a big indication of that, is that trying to find their way in the red zone. But the reason that they're, that they got back into the game a week ago and stayed in that game yesterday was a lot because the young man is just making some crazy throws.
I don't know if the two of you feel the same way, out and about in the city or when you guys are, kind of walking around Cardinals fans or things like that. But one of the things that's crazy is comparing the first two or three Josh Rosen starts. So remember, that's around week five, week six, week seven, something like that. And what we're seeing in the last 2 weeks, I'm sorry to judge the entire world based on listeners-only meetings, but has anybody been listening Mondays at 7:15? You're talking about an 0-1-1 football team with a college head coach and a college quarterback, rookies, in a division where everybody's 2-0 except the hometown team.
Oh.
And the optimism on listeners-only meetings, the optimism of people in this city for a team that hasn't won and a quarterback that has lit it up late in games and struggled in every first half, and yet everyone feels like it's going to be okay.
You know, the biggest compliment you can pay Kyler Murray so far is when you forget he's a rookie. And this happened midway through camp after the Raiders game. You realize, oh, wait a minute. That's what a rookie looks like, because you forget that he's a rookie. The expectations have been elevated. Yeah, I get these little league dads out of practice and stuff. Oh, he missed that throw, or he didn't figure it. He's a rookie in his first or second start. But the fact that we forget about that and we already have these significant expectations is a compliment to the caliber of his play so far and how precocious he is as a young quarterback.
There's no doubt, Paulie. No doubt about it, right? I mean, again, coming in here, his command of the offense, the fact that he knew the offense better than every other coach, save for Cliff Kingsbury, was stunning. And I don't know if that has ever happened in the National Football League ever before with a rookie quarterback. I don't think that it has, and it's one of the reasons why I think his career path and his learning curve, obviously, it's not on the same that every other rookie quarterback has been on in the past. It's not.
I totally agree with what you're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury. I think the proof is Lamar Jackson on Sunday. The growth of Lamar Jackson from rookie year as a running back who is throwing the ball on occasion, and two days ago now, when he beat you with brain, legs, and arm in that game, that's a phenomenal growth in one offseason. And the question to Cliff Kingsbury is so fair, and it's so well answered. of when is the cutoff to where we stop saying, is he a rookie? When's the cutoff when we stop saying, give the guy a break, he's a rookie? And without saying it, he basically says, when he's truly no longer a rookie is when you give him that break.
I think next season, you know, I think this year as a rookie quarterback, you know, I didn't ever start in the NFL, but talk to enough guys that every one of those reps is so valuable as they grow up, and how much the game slows down going into that year two as the guy and all the off-season preparation and reps that come with it. And so, yeah, we're going to continue to grow and do the best we can throughout the season. But the entire 16 games is going to be one big learning experience for him, and we all know that.
And historically, that has been the case. Maybe even arguably the best quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning, was still learning lessons in December, lessons in December. Just talked to Bertrand Berry. We talked to B-Train on the air about Peyton Manning. He was there for Peyton's rookie year. There were still those brutal lessons being learned. It wasn't until year two he took that jump. Lamar Jackson wasn't nearly the same passer those last few games of last season that we saw this past Sunday. Are you kidding me? Look at the progress he made in one offseason, and look how remedial their passing game was in December of last year.
Yeah, you can see talent, can't you? You can see talent. That is the one thing about Kyler Murray right now. You can see this kid's ability to throw the ball with aplomb. You can see the accuracy. You can see the quick release. You can see the arm angles. You see the velocity. You can see the acumen. And most of all, for me, he's made it through two games. That's the big part right there.
I just love the point of your rookie year stops when your rookie year stops. That's really what he's saying. And think about it. For 4 months, what does a rookie do? Gets ready to prove that he's the number one pick. That's all you do for 4 months is try to prove you should be the rookie. Then for 3 months, it's get to know your teammates, get to know the playbook, get to know your city, figure out where you're going to live. And then, hey, now the season started and you're a starting quarterback. Starting in January of 2020, he spends 7 to 8 months getting ready to do nothing but be the starting quarterback of one franchise that he already knows with the same head coach.
Starting
huge
to
difference.
Learn how to win is what he's doing.
You know, I had a chance real quick to talk to Zach Allen yesterday in the Cardinals locker room. That was his fourth game against Lamar Jackson because they were in the ACC together.
Yeah.
He said he's as slippery as ever. That's the word he used. That guy is so slippery. He said, but he's so much more accomplished now in making his reads, finding the open receivers, the accuracy, the passing acumen. Right, his reverence for what Lamar Jackson did on Sunday versus what he saw in college and what we all saw in year one. And already, Kyler is far down that learning curve that it took Lamar Jackson all that time to accomplish.
Get lower-level tickets for just $19.87 to see the 24th-ranked ASU football host host Colorado this Saturday. Just text DEVILS to 620-620, and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's text DEVILS to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. Coming up next, fantasy owners, pretty important news in the NFL just hit. We'll give you a minute on that, and then Diamondbacks. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm assuming, and granted, this is total assumption on my part, but I'm assuming you do not have Eli Manning as your starting quarterback of your fantasy football team. But it is kind of interesting that it has officially come down.
Mine.
Oops, wrong button. That's
a great cut, though, right there, right?
Mine.
The
mine,
seagulls.
Yeah.
Mine.
That's
what mine. That Mine.
If you really want to know what it was me cutting up the seagulls and combining it when I thought Jack Nicklaus sounded just like the seagulls, is what that was.
Mine.
Really? Yeah, I put that together a long time ago.
Sounds like Dion back in the day.
Honestly, I don't even know why it's still in there. But what I was really trying to play is,
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying I'm blaming you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jeff.
What that was is, that's officially what Eli Manning has just been told. Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback of the New York Giants.
Wow.
Adam Schefter first to report that it's officially happened, that you're going to have him take over as the quarterback of the New York Giants. And then Schefter followed it with a pretty funny tweet that is, here are your starting quarterback matchups for week 3.
Yeah.
where Daniel Jones, his first game, with all due respect to Todd Bowles, is against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Luke Falk, next week, your first start is against the Patriots.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's rough right there. Daniel Jones, a new era in the Big Apple. Daniel Jones has taken over as quarterback of the New York Giants right now. What's he got, four attempts? I think it's four attempts on the season. This is a guy that lit it up in the preseason, right? And we all know that the demise of Eli Manning was on the horizon. We all saw that coming.
You know what it made me think of? Do you remember back to one of the great things you and I were ever a part of? Nothing's better than us doing the things we've been able to do for PCH around here and character counts and the things that really matter in the community. But just from a show standpoint, one of the best things we were ever a part of was QB1. In which we had an hour-long podcast talking to Carson Palmer and Kurt Warner about the future of Kyler Murray, the choices that are going to be made, the draft, things like that.
Yep.
And do you remember the story that Kurt Warner told? How appropriate is it this morning?
I say it all the time when I was in New York and I ended up getting benched for Eli Manning, that Tom Coughlin brought me in and looked me in the eye and basically said, "We're going to bench you, and it has nothing to do with you. That this is the thing we need to do, and I feel I need to do for our organization moving forward, and it stinks for you. And I understand that. But I'm going to do it, and it's the right move for me as the head coach." And I left that office that day going, I have so much respect for Tom Coughlin. We have a great relationship to this day because he looked me in the eye, and he told me how it was. Now, I didn't like it. Was it fair? Probably not. But it's the way the world works. And I was a part of his organization, and I was a member and an employee to that, you know, in that building. And I felt I deserved, because of what I gave them every time I showed up, I deserved an explanation. And I didn't have to like it, and I didn't have to agree with it, but I deserved it. I deserved that you to sit down and look me in the eye and say, this is what's going on. And I believe Josh deserves the same.
My young crunk brothers, this is exactly the way you ought to do business in your life, right? No matter what it is that you're doing right now. The dead level stare, eye to eye, firm handshake, man to man. Never forget that. Please tell me, that's never the wrong way to approach anything. And yet that's exactly what they did with Kurt Warner. And I wonder what they did with Eli Manning. I would be absolutely stunned if it wasn't the same situation with Dave Gettleman. That Dave Gettleman did not walk up himself, maybe, to Eli Manning, right? With Pat Shurmur, walk up and say, hey, listen, you know what? This is what we're going to do. Hopefully he did that. We don't have the details coming out yet, but hopefully he had the respect for Eli Manning to walk up to him and say it face to face. Otherwise, what are you doing? Do everything, my young crunk brothers, right? Do everything face to face like a man. Eyeball to eyeball. Hand to hand. Take no exception.
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying I'm blaming you.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, it could be a situation where it is Eli.
That's the thing. Eli has struggled for quite a while.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no way around it. And it's going to be one of the more fascinating topics, I think, in 5 years of whether or not Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, two-time Super Bowl champion. And I'll never forget that throw to Mario Manningham. It was one of the greatest throws in postseason history. And if it wasn't for that throw, there's another Super. Think about Tom Brady and all the wins of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Two of his losses are the David Tyree catch, which you do have to give a ton of credit to Eli Manning for getting away on that third down, and the Mario Manningham throw and catch along the sideline from Eli Manning. Two fantastic plays.
I forgot about the Mario Manningham.
That was Google it. It's an amazing throw. This is off of memory. I don't remember if it's correct, but I think it was too deep, and yet the corner was dropping anyway, and he found that little window between the safety and the corner down the left sideline.
That's called carry the fade, based on
too
deep coverage.
It was absolutely incredible, and I can't get over that one. I just had to get into that for a little bit. Bear, I don't know if you're ready for this, but let's go ahead and do it, because We got people that want to see Kyler.
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
Let's see. What caller number do we want?
602-260-9870.
Man, that's a good question. What caller? You know what? In honor of the offensive explosion of our Diamondbacks last night,
okay.
Let's go with caller number 7 right now. Caller number 7, we got 2 tickets for you to see Kyler against Carolina. It's brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union for Ticket Window Tuesday, 602-260-9870. If you're caller number 7, you're going to the game. If you are not caller number 7, don't worry. You've still got an opportunity to win tickets coming up later on today at 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15. That was off the top of my head, so hopefully I have those times correct.
Nice.
But that would be a cool prize for you to be able to be a winner and to see that game against those two. I don't have exactly everything ready, but I'd like to invent a new beautiful part of the program. And we'll get JV involved. We'll get Mr. Big Voice involved eventually. But the new part of the program to uplift your day, the Ed Orgeron quote of the day.
I felt bad. I felt bad for him, his family, and the Saints in the state of Louisiana, because I know how much he means to all of us.
That's your Ed Orgeron quote of the day.
That is great stuff right there. Where's the production for the Ed Orgeron quote of the day?
We don't have it yet.
Let's go.
Well, here's the thing. I would blame JV that he hasn't done it, but there's 2 problems with that. A, I haven't asked him to yet.
Right.
And B,
that's big.
Yeah, it is big. And B, he's been doing all of my research and Doug's for the week, which makes things a little bit difficult. Coming up next, what are the 4 things after staring down 2 weeks of Cardinals football that have surprised us the most? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's 4 Down Territory with Doug and Wolf.
This is how 4 Down Territory works. If you work for ESPN, listen closely if there's anything else you want to steal from us for your morning show. And what it does is we have 1 topic, usually driven by Maloney, and she says, you know what, I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. But it's not a ranking order, because all 3 of us get to decide between Paul Wolf and myself which downs are the most important to us. Today's 4 Down Territory topic, I didn't realize that even alliterates, is this. What are the 4 surprises that you have seen through the Cardinals? Things you didn't realize or didn't know before week 1 that you feel good about declaring now.
First down.
My first down, the one thing I had no idea, and even though I watch a ton of college football and saw a lot of Texas Tech games, I can't say I watched a lot of Texas Tech press conferences. And my number one surprise, only because I didn't know, not because I was declaring it wasn't true, is Cliff accountability. Listening to the things Cliff Kingsbury says during the week, he admits mistakes more than just about any head coach, but doesn't do it in a way that says, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Admits it now. How's he going to correct it? That's the question.
My first down will be Larry the deep threat. Larry Fitzgerald down the field, back again, something we really haven't seen since 2015. The man has... he has longer catches each of the first 2 games than he had any of the last 3 seasons. Are you kidding me? There he is on the outside. There he is down the field. There he is, Larry, deep in the opponent's secondary, doing like he used to do years ago.
Okay, my first down to 4 down territory has got to be Kyler Murray. The kid just keeps doing cool things under adverse situations. The fact that he righted himself in the Lions game and then went to Baltimore and lit the lamp with his play is absolutely stunning. The kid is not a franchise quarterback yet. Time reveals the truth about a human being's ability to be a franchise quarterback. But from what I've seen through 2 games, this kid's size and skill set is going to be a positive going forward and not a negative. This kid can flat out play.
Second down.
My second down of the 4 biggest takeaways, biggest surprises I've got that I didn't realize going into the first 2 weeks of the season. How little the Cardinals have missed Patrick Peterson. I mean, listen, you're a better team when Patrick Peterson's on your team. Therefore, this is a weaker defense. Of course it is. But do you really look at one guy other than the tight end, which Patrick Peterson wouldn't have been guarding anyway, as getting 10 catches and 130 yards and totally embarrassing the entire defense? I haven't seen it. Yes, they missed Patrick Peterson, but one of my biggest surprises is how little they've missed Patrick Peterson.
I don't know. There were a lot of guys running around free against the Lions, and Marquise Hollywood Brown had a heck of a game. I'll get back to that a little bit later. I'm going to go second down rush defense in two ways. How well the Cardinals have done against running backs and how much they have struggled against quarterbacks, including Matthew Stafford, which was surprising. So if that's the question, I'll go with rush defense good and bad.
You know what, Paulie? I'm telling you right now, that is my big takeaway as well. My second down to four down territory has got to be the line of scrimmage. It's a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. Physicality is a mentality, Basinonians. The Lions tried to run the ball and averaged 3.2 yards per carry every time they handed the ball off to a running back. The Ravens had Lamar Jackson, but they also average less than 4 yards per carry. You're talking about the quintessential rush team maybe in the National Football League, and they average less than 4 yards a carry. The line of scrimmage is much better than I thought on the defensive side of the ball for the Cardinals.
Third down.
All right, I'm still in total shock that they lost to Cal. Still can't believe anybody loses to Cal.
Talking about UW, it was the second-best defense out on that field.
But my normal philosophy for all drafts is if he played defense at Alabama or Washington, draft him. I love what UW has done on defense the last couple years. I might be not going with that philosophy in the 2020 draft. I bring this up for my third down because the preparation of Byron Murphy being so ready to be a pro and doing so well, and again, everything I'm saying is within the confines of he's a rookie, but he has done really well in securing the nickel corner spot, and I will never forget talking to him after week one, and I asked him, what did you do better in the fourth quarter that you weren't doing in the first quarter? And he sat and had a long thought process and said, I was finally able to get the game to slow down because I was way too amped up for my first game. And to hear him say that he got on top of his emotions as a rookie in only three quarters, I thought that said a lot that he was able to recognize that.
All right, I'll go rookies. And the fact that Kyler Murray has not been a turnover machine, that is surprising for any rookie quarterback starting a season as a rookie. Yes, he had the pick against the Lions, but you know what? It actually wasn't a bad decision. There was Keyshawn Johnson back there. He just left a little bit short. Zero turnovers at the Ravens against that defense in that atmosphere. That's been surprising that he hasn't been more turnover prone.
You know what? My third down to four down territory has got to be Larry Fitzgerald, the Japanese fighting fish. Ladies and gentlemen, are you kidding me right now? This guy from Pitt, all the way from Pittsburgh, PA, and the University of Pitt. Larry Fitzgerald rejuvenated, re-energized. He started the season with back-to-back 100-yard receiving games for the first time in his career. Stop and think about that. 16 years for the first time in this legendary wide receiver's career, this Hall of Fame career. He started the season with back-to-back 100-yard receiving games. Absolutely stunning. Larry Fitzgerald rejuvenated, re-energized. That's number three.
Fourth down.
Okay, number one, where the two of you have been wrong in your four downs so far is one of us in the Auction Community Studios said this would be one of the greatest seasons in the history of Larry Fitzgerald. So there's no surprise there. Now, where I got it wrong, why in the world I never wrote down line of scrimmage in my four surprises, I don't know. And I'm jealous of both of yours. But my fourth down for one of the four things that comes as a big surprise after 2 weeks of the season is that when you looked at the NFL schedule this year, specifically the Arizona Cardinals, you expected to see three quarterbacks as opponents Breeze, Ben, and Eli Manning. I'm stealing this from a friend who just gave me this opinion. The fact that Drew Brees probably won't start against the Cardinals, Ben Roethlisberger definitely won't start against the Cardinals, and we assume, barring injury to Daniel Jones, Eli Manning won't start against the Cardinals, is my fourth down biggest surprise of the season.
You watch Sean Payton will go with Taysom Hill, and he'll bust out his own future of football. That's exactly what's going to happen by the time the Cardinals play the Saints on that one.
I do love Hill.
I was going to make my fourth down Doug's first down, and the whole accountability of Coach Kliff.
We got to do a better job as a staff and myself of putting them in a situation to be safe.
And just how often he cited himself after two games, okay.
Love it.
But I'm going to call an audible here and just go with the Cardinals' competitiveness in two games. Should have won the Lions game, could have won the Lions game if they would have kept on playing. Could have won at Baltimore if you didn't get inside the five three times in it with three field goals. Just the fact the Cardinals learning on the job with the rookie quarterback and the rookie head coach, and they have not played nearly as well as they can play, and they could easily be 2-0. That's a surprise.
Okay, base hit audience, I'm going to say my fourth down of four down territory is Byron Murphy. Oh, the local boy, Byron Murphy, right? This rookie allowed one completion for 11 yards against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, it wasn't like he was working against Antonio Brown or OBJ, ladies and gentlemen. He was not. But this kid can play, and he tackles so much better than I expected. Physically, Paul, Byron Murphy.
You want some?
I'm telling you, Byron Murphy has been a plus through two games right now. Don't let it go to your head, big guy. That's my fourth down.
Bear, hit the close. Oh, it's Tuesday.
In your face, Doug.
Tuesday at 7:41. The close is about character. And it's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. We always do character counts, where we take a second and either highlight a young student athlete in our area who does it on the field and off, or a great story about athletes anywhere. And today's highlight is David Johnson. David Johnson and his wife Megan dedicated the fourth annual David's Locker at Ryan House in Phoenix last Tuesday. David's Locker is a staple outreach of the Johnson family's Mission 31 Foundation, which seeks to provide opportunity, support, and resources to seriously ill children and their families. The locker is filled with electronics, iPads, Nintendo Switches that kids and their families can use while they're at the facility. And Ryan House is an organization that provides respite and care for children and their families as they navigate life-limiting or end-of-life journeys. In 2018, Ryan House provided over 150 children with respite care.
Had a chance to talk with David about this late last week. You know, he goes to the locker room every day, but what if that locker went to a kid and it was full of what they love, technology, and it takes your minds off what you're dealing with in the hospital? That's a double ding.
You can join us, Wolf.
That is well done right there. Shine the light of the king, David and Megan. Well done indeed.
Now, the only change I would make is I wouldn't call it David's Locker. I would change his name to Davey for that one. Davey Johnson's Locker. No, it sounds pretty good.
You're leaving the interns behind on that one. No chance they have any
Parker clothes. Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical is the proud partner of Character Counts, and they want to hear from you. We've got a $10,000 scholarship we're waiting to award for the 2019-2020 academic year to a student-athlete that exemplifies great character on and off the field. But the only way we know about it is if you tell us. Go to charactercountsaz.com to nominate a student athlete in our area that you know deserves a worthwhile opportunity. Coming up next, are we worried about David Johnson? Never off the field, but what about on it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. There's a narrative that in no way am I trying to drive, but I admit it's something that I believe in. And that is that David Johnson is one of the top 10 human beings to be playing in the NFL. Really great dude as a human being, and I think it's awesome the way he's led his life. Yet when I watch him run with the football, I don't think he runs with the same intensity that he used to. I don't think he runs in order to punish you. I don't think he runs as a guy that is a third round pick that wants to prove to the world you were wrong to not believe in me. I think he runs as a guy that has had a lot of injuries in his life, and I'll even say subconsciously, I don't mean it as a character attack. I think there's a little bit of a fear of, I've got to protect myself. I can't get hurt again. And it's gone to the point beyond where it's no longer, uh-oh, look out. There's a wall there, Tim LeCastro, don't run into it, to the, uh-oh, you're letting balls drop in front of you because you're scared. That's not a LeCastro slam. That's a funny comment of how many times he runs into walls all the time. I look at David Johnson as playing not to get hurt. And a lot of people hated that commentary at the beginning of the year. And now more and more media, I admit, are starting to ask the question. And it even got asked to Cliff Kingsbury yesterday.
I don't know if there's any difference. I think first two games, we haven't got him in a rhythm, obviously, and they've been passing games because we've been behind the entire time. And we got to get him going early and into the game more.
Now, number one, there's your Cliff Kingsbury accountability. Every problem on this team, Cliff Kingsbury says, is his fault for not doing something in either play design or play calling. I really love that about him, but that's what I see from David Johnson so far.
It's just so weird, Douglas, because honestly, if you're talking about him being a physical back, first and foremost, Basin Onions, he's never been a physical back. He's never been that. He's never been a I'm-going-to-run-you-over guy. As a matter of fact, his claim to fame was what? His jump cut. That was it. Mm-hmm. The ability to, boom, jump and then explode and run around somebody else, not explode through him. Now, did he do it? There's no doubt about it. He showed it from time to time, and I think he's got to get back to doing that. Listen, what's weird about this, I agree he's not running the ball in a physical way, and he's got to do it more. He's got to get the opportunity to actually run the ball first and foremost, and then he's got to dip and rip on somebody. He's got to do it. You've got to be willing to do that. It's one of the best things that Lev Bell does. He shows it on film once every other game. Once every other game, I'm going to rip on you when you least expect it. That helps him in the future because everyone watches film on this stuff. But what's interesting about it is David Johnson in blitz pickup has been really good.
It's
and
weird
he's been
to change
physical
that.
Yep. As well. Physical. I don't know why I had a hard time saying that. Physical in blitz pickup. I'm really encouraged based on what I'm seeing right there. So, listen.
The two points do not coincide. It is weird.
Exactly right.
And I agree with you.
I will agree that he needs to run the ball in a more physical way. But after 137 total yards in the Lions game, nobody was... You were saying it, Douglas, but nobody was actually talking about his productivity in any way, shape, or form. And if that's what you're going to get out of David Johnson, 137 total yards every game, take that all day long and run.
And I would, too. I think the difference is what do you expect from David Johnson? I love what Bruce Arians would always say. He didn't talk about the yards he got. He talked about the yards. And granted, this is speculation. But he talked about the yards he thought David Johnson was leaving on the field. And
more to do with the passing game.
Yes, and I'm watching David Johnson, and I'm seeing, okay, the hole that to me looks to be there that David Johnson in his first couple years was exploding through now seems to close on him a little faster. Are you taking a second to read to make sure? Mm-hmm. Are you not, to me, he's not as decisive going through that hole, exploding
he
through the hole as he used
as
to be.
He does explosive. To me, he does not in a short area. Where is the jump cut? Where is the explosiveness after the jump and then the explosion, right? Where is that? I'm with you. Every now and then, he's got to dip and rip. He's got to do it. And I saw him do it once. I saw him do it in the Lions game. But he was a little bit late on the cutback before he ripped it, right? But this guy, look,
it's a strange
opinion. Small sample size right now. And I think I need to see him play more.
It's a strange opinion, I admit, because of the point that you made previously. It used to be, it's unbelievable how many missed assignments in pass pro he had. Now, if you look back at last week's game, I think I counted one, and that's from a guy sitting on a couch that doesn't know the actual play of what he's supposed to be doing. But there was one in the fourth quarter I thought, ooh, that was, what are you doing there? But that's one. And it used to be maybe one or two a quarter. You know, now we're talking about one or two a game. So, and that's a mindset. The running back in pass pro is a mindset. Do you want to get your face in there? And for the most part, he's doing just that.
I have no idea how many mental errors he's actually made. I do know that David Johnson has said, you know what, he's making too many of them. I know that he said that again. He said that last year as well. I know that he's saying it again this year. I don't know about the mental errors. I don't know about the assignment, ladies and gentlemen, but I will tell you this right now. When he steps up into the hole, I see a boom! I see a jack! I see somebody step up in there ready to take on somebody in the hole, and that's what you got to have. So the mentality is there. Now, though, try to run more aggressively, I would say. I don't know why that is. I don't know why
it doesn't correlate. That's not normal.
It does not correlate at all. And again, I think productivity, that's the number one concern with David Johnson. It's got to be about the productivity because he's not ever going to be the physical run you over Earl Campbell type of guy. That's not who he is.
The productivity is exactly what Bickley and Murata were talking about yesterday. And they asked Cliff Kingsbury about David Johnson's production specific to him. You know, the other question was, is he running differently? That was the press conference question. But the question about productivity came from Bickley and Murata. And as we're growing accustomed to with Cliff Kingsbury.
Right? It's been situationally speaking more so when you're talking about, you know, getting fewer carries. We've been behind and had to throw it. And also the first two teams we played, their front sevens are really, really good. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about league-wide, they're top five, both of them, as far as stopping the run goes.
It is interesting.
I would agree with Cliff on that.
Yeah, typical Cliff. So far, every answer is either preseason, it's we'll see. Regular season is they're good and it's my fault.
He didn't say it there, though. He didn't say it there.
I think there, though, the one thing he said there that I don't like about what he said is when he goes situational, you really weren't trailing by enough to abandon the run game at any point in that game.
Well, you were down two possessions.
You
were down two possessions. You know, and again, I think two possessions is that's where you start to worry about stuff when you're down two possessions for the most part. I just
don't leave the run game, Cliff.
Honestly, this is a mentality.
More mesh points, Cliff.
Mentality. Physicality is a mentality, and so is running the ball. It's got to become important. It's got to become important. This mentality. I know the offensive linemen right now, I can tell you right now, they want to come off the
Absolutely.
Ball. They want to eat. They want that mentality. They want that physicality. That's got to be passed on. David Johnson has got to run in a physical way, in a decisive way. But right now, I just think the sample size is too small for me to actually throw stones at David.
Lisa Garland was our winner of Ticket Window Tuesday, so she and a friend or a relative are going to see Cardinals and Carolina. If you want your chance to win Ticket Window Tuesday presented by Arizona Central Credit Union, make sure you're listening at 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15. Your next chance is to be a winner. Coming up next, Maloney will get you caught up on everything that happened last night and this morning rapid fire. If you don't listen, someone's going to bring something up to you at the office today, and you'll have no idea what just happened. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.